You and others who are proponents of the Capital College Preparatory Academy point to data you say shows that students who have gone to the school have greatly improved their academic performance. How so?
I believe that it started bearing fruit within the first 3 weeks of my daughter going there. She was a decent student before, but she became a much better student, where homework became a priority rather than other things when she got home. And her study habits improved, and her overall performance improved because of that.
And what do you credit for those changes and your daughter personally?
I credit the fact that with it being gender specific, there were distractions that were removed because of that. I believe that the emphasis on a higher standard had to do with it. The expectations were greatly raised. And she knew about that going in, and that was emphasized every day in class with her teachers. And the fact that no one was allowed basically an excuse or mulligan for not doing the work. I mean, the expectations were there for everyone. And it just became a habit for her.
Did test scores also point to show that students at this school were doing better than they were at their previous schools when it came to stuff like standardized reading tests?
Yes, reading and math, yes.
And so why did you decide to enroll your daughter in the first place?
I realized that moving forward, we're faced with a different society we're living in now. The social background of everything has changed. The dynamics of the classroom and the community have changed. And what played when I went to school is not the same thing that works today in reaching these kids. And I saw this as an opportunity to do something different, to try to reach these kids and close that gap. And I think it worked very well.
When did you start hearing that the school might be closing at the end of the school year?
We had to fight for the school at the end of the sixth grade year. Then we had to come back and do it at the end of the seventh grade year. And naturally, we pretty well assumed that we're going to have to do it again after the eighth grade year. And we weren't wrong.
So, as you mentioned, you claim this, you know, has been kind of a political decision. What do you chalk up that sort of instability to?
A lack of understanding, both not only on the part of the board, but whenever you have something that is working that's new, kind of out-of-the-box thinking, it tends to put pressure on other schools where you did not intend for that to happen. But because you're getting performance and maybe they're not achieving the performance that they would like, it makes them uncomfortable. And then you have, unfortunately, our educators, their peers are basically sneering at them for doing a good job. And I find that very unfortunate. And unfortunately, in this argumentative decision on CCPA or anything else regarding these children, we aren't really focusing on what's best for them in the long run. And I think that's a shame because there are a lot of good things the district is doing. There's a lot of good teachers. But the system does need to be tweaked, and you need to look at what was really working well there and try to implement that rather than just basically you closed a school that was not on the academic watch list. And by anybody's standard in any district, that's a silly decision.
So you're saying there may have been concern that with students doing a good job with the CCPA program, that would start to make other schools, I guess, look like their performance was not keeping up to par.
Correct. And we were even accused of handpicking children and doing everything else to get kids to make our numbers look better, and that was not the case. We had to apply to go there. And we actually turned kids away based on what our class size limit was. But I think the things that did work well were borne out in the program. And one of them was the increased expectation on the academic side.
Previous school board president Susan White, I know she's one example I can think of, who said she voted against keeping the school open and had said that maybe this was not making a level playing field for all students in the district. Maybe this was giving preferential treatment to these students. What do you make of that argument?
I think that was a comment that was biased. I don't think that was a person in particular that definitely did not understand what was going on at the school, nor did they ever try to understand how it was working. And you can't make a blanket statement like that unless you're part of the program. And it's frustrating because there are things when you start peeling it away, you can't make an apple-to-apple comparison between the different schools because they are different. The thing that you can't run from is the results. And when you are getting results like they were achieving, it's kind of hard to turn your back on that, but unfortunately, the board did.
And so we were speaking earlier, and you said there had already been some original plans for this project. It was a project proposed and kind of spearheaded by the previous superintendent, Walter Milton. But you had said there had already been some original plans for the school that had gone by the wayside. Can you talk about that?
Yes. When we originally enrolled our sixth grade year, the commitment that we were being asked to make was the fact that this school was supposed to go 6th through the 12th grade, which meant there would be a high school past the junior high, hence College Preparatory Academy. It's kind of hard to have a college preparatory academy without a high school. There were no discussions made in those 3 years on what to do with the high school simply because this board could not get behind the junior high in the first place. There may have been unanimous decisions on voting to continue the school, but there was never unanimous support behind the scenes. And unfortunately, it hurt, and the high school went away with so much as any discussion.
So there's been outrage from parents over the leaking of student data, being test scores with the names of students attached to them, students from CCPA. Can you give us some background on that, if you would, as well as your take on it?
I think it was an unfortunate thing. Not as much as a parent, it was disappointing. I was pretty disgusted to find out that it happened when it did, because there was really no reason for it. There wouldn't have been a reason for it if it had happened earlier. And when you get into a situation like this, where you have people violating privacy and privacy of minors, that's a path you don't want to go down, whether you're in a school system or whether you're in business or anywhere else. Privacy is something in today's day and age that you can't take lightly. And unfortunately, there was no good reason for this. The only way to release scores in general was to try to take away from what these kids had achieved. And by releasing the scores and their names, they made this personal. And by doing that, it left a very black mark on the district. And I know that there are educators out there that do a daggone good job for their kids in the classroom and have worked tirelessly, and they care about the future of their students. And some of these same teachers are sitting in a pool of teachers who haven't got jobs for next year. And yet, we had a board and an administration that was thinking about putting a person who violated the trust of the student, the staff, and everyone involved in a classroom as a teacher. I find that a very disappointing decision, and the whole situation unethical.
And just to be clear, you're talking about the fact that there were three employees who were indicated in the leaks of the data, and two of them have parted ways with the district, but this final employee, as of the time of this interview, it has been undecided, though they had proposed perhaps making her a classroom teacher, which last night they decided to table that decision. And they'll decide, I guess, at a later date what to do with her employment.
It goes back to ethical decision-making. It goes back to professionalism. And as a district, both when you're a parent, when you're an educator in this, when you're just a part of the Springfield community, there are things that you expect out of the people that are teaching and involved with your children. There are things that you expect from people you deal with in this community, and professionalism is something that walks hand in hand with ethics. You don't expect this type of behavior when you know it was admittedly wrong. And therefore, when you're trying to hire good quality candidates to come in, and they're in the middle of a superintendent search right now, you have to do a background check. You have to check their resume. You have to check their references. And if anybody were to apply that would have this type of blip on their application, I would certainly hope that the seven that have to sign off on hirings and dismissals would not accept someone with this on their record. And if you wouldn't accept someone as a new hire with this on their record, why would you even entertain the thought of keeping them?
And so some people say, as you kind of mentioned, that the schools these students will be going to are perfectly adequate and have similar programs to what was being taught at CCPA. What do you make of that?
Well, I certainly hope that that is the case and these kids can get plugged into those. I think that's something that the district needs to look at because CCPA was a STEM school, and there is no, to my knowledge, there's no STEM middle school now. And I know that there's a math science academy at Springfield Southeast High School that is very good for the students. And I know all the high schools employ advanced classes so they can be properly put in the right class for their talents and the right weight classes. I think that's very, very important. So I'm not concerned that the eighth grader is going to have any problem at all wherever they land. And I don't think our sixth and seventh graders are going to suffer ill effects. They just need to, it's going to require good communication between the new staff at whatever school they go to and involvement on the parents' part. The parents can't just drop the kids off and say, here, have them. The parents need to be involved.
Board member Scott McFarland had asked the new board members who were seated earlier this month whether they would consider keeping the school open this coming school year, trying to find some sort of way that could be a possibility, but they voted that down. Some members, though, had ran saying they would fight to keep CCPA open. Can you talk, what was your reaction to that?
I was not surprised. I think CCPA is four letters that people would prefer not to hear anymore anytime soon. I think that it makes the hair stand up on people's necks. Unfortunately, people have been given the wrong impression. I've come to realize that you don't know how important something is until you don't have it anymore. So that's my take on it. They're not going to have this. But truly, I don't think we are doing the right thing as far as from a district standpoint. They need to track these children. They really do, especially ones going into high school, and see if they are maybe better prepared and see how they stack up to the kids coming from the other schools, both from a disciplinary standpoint and from an academic standpoint, and see if there are any things there that are an indicator that, hey, maybe we need to take a look at some parts of this program and see if we can implement it so that we can help basically improve the education gap, and at the same time, we wouldn't have wasted 3 years.